Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. Another good program for you today. Coming up later on in the show, a review of the comedy Win-Win, starring Paul Giamatti and Amy Ryan. But right now, on the musical side of things, it's time for another new and recent releases program, spotlighting the very latest in the world of film music, both music from newer movies and some older film music that's just been released on CD. And we begin with a new score from composer Alex Heffs, a talented guy who wrote the score for The Last King of Scotland. This is his music for the Anthony Hopkins horror thriller The Rite. Take a listen. Music by composer Alex Heffs, written for the film The Rite. Moving from newer music to older music, we get a number of film music re-recordings each year, and quite a few of them have just been released, conducted by Charles Gerhardt. And we're going to feature a few recently recorded film music selections from older composers, and we'll begin with this one from composer Erich Wolfgang Korngold, his score for The Private Lives of Elizabeth and Essex.
Thank you.
There you go. That's music from the great Eric Wolfgang Korngold. Next up, another great composer, Max Steiner, and his music for the Humphrey Bogart film, The Big Sleep. Take a listen.
Thank you.
music by Max Steiner, re-recorded by Charles Gerhardt, that written for the film The Big Sleep. Okay, one more vintage film score before we move back into the new stuff. This is from composer Bernard Herrmann, his music for The White Witch Doctor. Enjoy.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and we're spotlighting more new and recent film music releases on the program today. Back to the new music, composer Eric D. Johnson provides us with a score for the new Uma Thurman film, Ceremony. Take a listen. Music by Eric D. Johnson, written for Ceremony. Next up, a lengthy piece from composer Chris Ridenour, written for the cheap sci-fi channel film The Land That Time Forgot. Enjoy.
Thank you. It's been a long time. I know it's been a long time. I know it's been a long
Alright, that's music from The Land That Time Forgot by composer Chris Ridenour. Very big, sometimes very silly music, but there we have it. It's new in recent releases week. But the time for music has just about run out already here on the program, and we move along to our movie review for the week of the new film Win Win. After the highly regarded successes of The Station Agent and The Visitor, writer-director Tom McCarthy returns with another fine effort, albeit a somewhat slighter, more formulaic one. Mike Flaherty, played by Paul Giamatti, is a down-on-his-luck attorney and the coach of a local high school wrestling team. His team is struggling nearly as much as his law firm. Desperate to generate some cash, Mike takes advantage of an elderly client who is suffering from the early stages of dementia. After persuading the court to allow him to serve as the elderly client's guardian, Mike dumps the old man into an assisted living home and simply accepts the large checks that come in the mail each month. It's shortly after this that Mike meets Kyle, played by Alec Schaffer, the old man's teenage grandson. Kyle is quiet and a little rough around the edges, but generally a nice guy. His mother's in rehab, and he doesn't really have anywhere to stay, so Mike and his wife Jackie, played by Amy Ryan, agree to let Kyle stay with them for a while. Attempting to give the kid something to do, Mike encourages Kyle to join the wrestling team. To Mike's delight, Kyle is far and away the most talented wrestler the school has ever had. Soon, the scrappy little team actually has a shot at winning the state championship. There are scenes in Win Win which you see coming several reels before they actually arrive. You know that Kyle's mother is going to turn up at some point and cause some sort of complication. You know that Kyle is going to figure out the truth about what Mike is doing to his grandfather and that a lot of yelling will ensue. You know that the team is going to make it to the big match and there's going to be some moment in which absolutely everything depends on Kyle. These scenes do indeed appear, and more often than not they play out the way you would expect them to. Win Win is a formulaic, predictable film in many ways, and while it's not good enough to make that fact irrelevant, like David O. Russell's The Fighter, it's good enough to be worth watching anyway. That's largely due to the fact that the characters are so well drawn and so easy to spend time with. Giamatti's casting is particularly crucial to the success of the film, as his sad sack regret goes a long way towards permitting us to forgive him for engaging in some rather sleazy behavior. Mike isn't a bad guy, he just acts like one on occasion in moments of desperation. Still, it's an element of his character that seems refreshingly icky for a film like this. Most movie coaches have considerably more superficial flaws, like spending too much time trying to figure out how to lead their team to victory and unintentionally ignoring their family in the process. Mike is such a nice guy in so many other ways. Giamatti plays him as a man constantly attempting to compensate for his weaknesses. Likewise, Amy Ryan's Jackie isn't the typical cinematic coach's wife, which is to say that she isn't relegated to a dull blend of generic nagging and equally generic support. She's a real human being and a compelling character in her own right, sharing some scenes with Schaffer that rank among the film's best. Ryan and Giamatti also have splendid chemistry together, giving the on-screen marriage an appealingly lived-in feel. Schaffer also strikes some surprising notes, creating a character who proves far easier to get along with than you might suspect. Jeffrey Tambor and Bobby Cannavale add some lovely comic grace notes to the proceedings as Mike's assistant coaches. Watching the duo's underplayed childish bickering is a delight. The film is funny, but in a gentle way that provides a steady stream of chuckles rather than loud bursts of laughter. The midsection of the film in particular, which spends the most amount of time on the wrestling portion of the movie, has a lot of entertaining stuff. Almost everything involving the interaction between the coaches is comic gold. By the time the dramatic theatrics of the third act arrive, we've developed such goodwill toward the characters that we care about their contrived situations and the predictable arguments which occur between them. I like Win-Win. It's a rather amiable cinematic experience and a better-than-average comedy, but it somehow lacks the resonance and depth of McCarthy's previous outings. It's worth a watch, but the characters are on a higher level of quality than the plot. I give it a rating of 3 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you've enjoyed the show and that you'll join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. Right now, we conclude the program with Mr. Elvis Costello. Have a great week, everyone. Back at you later.
Now it's just you and me, my beautiful friend. And you say that it's you that she's thinking of, and our affair must end. But if it's you that she's thinking of, I think my broken heart might mend. When it's my turn to talk, your turn to think, your turn to buy, my turn to drink, your turn to cry, and my turn to sing. Down in the blue chair, down in the blue chair. Now I made up my mind, I made my mistake, and I know that you cry. She's barely awake, but she's gonna bend your mind. Well, I hope it don't break. Now it's my turn to talk, your turn to think, your turn to buy, my turn to drink, your turn to cry. To talk, and your turn to think, your turn to buy, my turn to drink, your turn.